Hello, and thanks for joining Wicker Park Lutheran Church Sermons. Wicker Park Lutheran Church is a diverse ELCA Lutheran congregation in the Wicker Park neighborhood of Chicago. We gather at 10 a.m. to fully live into our incarnational faith as we experience God's presence in the gathered assembly, and we welcome you to join us. In just a moment, you'll first hear with a gospel reading from the associated sermon for the service that you're about to listen to. We hope that that gospel gives you some context before you jump right into the sermon. Thanks for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing, and the people stood by watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the king of the Judeans, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him that read, "This is the king of the Judeans." One of the criminals who were hanged there just kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Well, today here at Wicker Park Lutheran Church, as we observe the 7-week Advent, today marks the third Sunday of our Advent season. And it is also a time where we are gathering just days before Thanksgiving here in the United States. Some of us may be excited for the week ahead. Some are dreading the difficult conversations around the dinner table. Some are grieving someone who will not be there this year. Some are tired of the news, the world, or the long list of things to do to get through this week. And yet, in the midst of all of that, Advent meets us right here, in real life, in real complexity, and in real longing. You see, the Advent season is not a season of passive waiting. It is active hope. It is participating in what God is already doing and anticipating the world that God is bringing about by leaning towards God's reign of justice and mercy, even when we cannot yet fully see it. And I think holding this Advent season together with today's gospel reading, things feel maybe a little bit off, right? I mean, today we are dropped right into the gospel of Jesus's crucifixion. It feels more fit for the Lenten season, or indeed for Holy Week or the 3 days, instead of Advent. This isn't Advent-y, but on closer look, maybe it is actually a bit Advent-like. I mean, because here in this story that we read today, it reveals the deepest truth of what we anticipate in Advent. Namely, a God who stands in solidarity with the vulnerable. A God who refuses to answer the cruelty heaped at him. A God who will not abandon love, no matter the cost. And in that reading from Luke's gospel, we just heard that Jesus was crucified between two criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And the scene that we heard had this escalating harm. First the leaders scoff, then the soldiers mock, then one criminal derides him, and the crowd watches it all unfold. The world heaps humiliation and pain on Jesus. This is what the end of the world might have looked like for Jesus. And while none of us have been crucified, anyone been crucified? No. So too, we still know what that feeling might feel like. Many of us know what it's like to be wronged, to be misunderstood, to be judged unfairly. We know the sting of a harsh word at the Thanksgiving table. We know the tension at work when a coworker takes credit for our labor or publicly blames us for something gone wrong. We know what it's like to have a client lash out, or a friend who disappoints us, or a partner who breaks our very trust. And we know what it feels like for systems to fail us, when families are torn apart by ICE raids, when asylum seekers hit wall after wall, when the safety nets that we depend on are disrupted. And when we are hurt, when we are humiliated, when we are afraid, our instinct, our human nature is almost the same. We want to defend ourselves. We want to lunge back. We want to fire off that angry email. We want to retaliate. It is our natural human state. That same state that Jesus likely felt on the cross. And in that moment, we see that tension in the two criminals on the cross. One wanted to escape right away, saying, "Save yourself and us." While the other wanted some kind of reassurance in what was to come, saying, "Remember me." Both criminals, the one on the right and on the left, were both trying to make sense of their own suffering. Both were trying to reach for salvation, and yet neither fully understood the mercy that was unfolding right in between them. And then from the cross, Jesus spoke the words that continue to undo me, at least, but maybe undo all of us. Here in the moment of persecution, of humiliation, indeed at the moment of his death, he says, "Father, forgive them." Now, to be honest, you probably saw the brackets in your bulletin. These exact words don't appear in the earliest manuscripts. But the reality is the essence of what they are saying. This essence rings true to everything Jesus lived and Jesus taught. He didn't wait for an apology to extend forgiveness. He didn't wait for changed behavior. He chose compassion in the midst of violence. He refused to let the cruelty around him determine who he would be. He stood with humanity, not in some sentimental way, but in an embodied sense of costly solidarity. Now, I want to be really clear, because it's so easy, whether it's in the Lenten season or on a day like today when we read it, that we feel like we need to be Jesus, that somehow we need to become like Jesus, that we need to be the ones who are constantly persecuted and we just take it. We are not asked to become Jesus or to try to become our God. In fact, if we try to think that we can become God, that we can be like Jesus fully, we are then worshiping ourselves. That is called idolatry. That is not worship of God. That is worship of the self. Instead, we are reminded that Jesus has opened us up to new possibilities for us. Instead, in this moment, we can see that Jesus revealed a path that is not governed by fear or retaliation. And this is the same pathway that we pursue each Advent season. This last week, I was thinking back to maybe a more contemporary example of what this all might look like. And I was thinking back to a story that I had heard from back in 1992. It was an Amish community in Belleville, Pennsylvania. Does anybody know where I'm going with this? So there was one night, way back in 1992, where someone went around and set fire a series of barns, six barns, caught on fire. Livestock were killed. I think it was something like 177 different livestock were killed. Equipment was ruined. Families were devastated. And you have to think about it, right? From an Amish community's perspective, this was an enormous blow because their lives depended on the land. And on top of that, it happened on the eve of the planting season. And while police opened investigations and reporters asked a lot of questions, the Amish community responded on a different way. You see, neighboring Amish arrived by the dozens, by boogie on foot with tools in hands. They shoveled debris aside, they cleared the rubble, and they raised new barns right then and there. They did not wait to know who was responsible before they put their hands to rebuilding. They did not allow vengeance or bitterness to define them. They chose solidarity over retaliation. They let their hope and not their hurt shape their next step. And you see, that kind of response by this Amish community, well, this response is not something naive, it's not something soft. Instead, it is something that is courageous. It is a witness to a different kind of world. It is a witness that echoes what Jesus showed on that cross. That dignity can be chosen even when dignity is denied. That compassion can be offered even in the midst of suffering. And that solidarity can interrupt the cycles of harm. And you see, this is a reminder of exactly why today's crucifixion text belongs right here in the middle of our Advent season. For Advent is not going about pretending that everything is fine, but instead Advent is about a deep longing. A longing for God's reign of mercy to break into the world. A longing for justice to be made real. A longing for a love that is fierce enough to heal. You see, Advent is a season of active hope. It is leaning towards the world that God promises, trusting that Christ has and will continue to bring God's full expression of love and justice and peace into our world, even in the moments when it feels so distant. And so too, here at Wicker Park Lutheran Church, that hope is beginning to take shape. After all, our Advent theme this year is standing in solidarity, and it is not meant to be an abstract thing where we just say, yeah, we're going to stand with people, but it is meant to be an embodied work, that we are embodying what we do, both with our ministry partners and supporting Latino and Latina congregations, walking with vulnerable families, or supporting Refugee One as newcomers come to rebuild their lives with no support that they were promised from our government. Or by supporting Opportunity Palestine as students learn and grow amid instability. So too, it is embodied in the ADA accessibility construction just around us, as the doors are widened, as new pathways are made, as we are inconvenienced to go about and do things differently. In and amidst all of that, it is reminding us that we are longing for something new and different. You see, it's not just a building project, it is solidarity made structural. It is active hope poured into concrete and steel. It is us saying that God's world belongs to everybody and that we are preparing space for that world right now, even though it's not yet here. We are preparing, we are longing, we are looking forward to the day where everybody is proclaimed as God's beloved and God's most valuable in the world. You see, Advent invites us not to sit by and just wait for God's future, but instead it offers us the opportunity to anticipate it, to mirror it, to practice it, to prepare the way for it. Not because we have to, but because we have that opportunity to respond to the gift that God is already bringing among us. And so when harm happens to us, when fear rises, when the world says, save yourself, we are invited into another option. We can pause. We can breathe. We can respond with dignity, not because we must, but because Christ has already stood with us in our suffering, opening the way. And so as we enter this week, with whatever might be going on in your head, whatever might come in the week ahead, hold on to that reminder. You are not asked to become God. You are not Jesus. You are not required to be perfect. You are not commanded to forgive instantly. You are not expected to do any of that. But know that you are invited. You are invited into a way of compassion that can change the world in small and powerful ways. You are invited into solidarity. Solidarity by one choice, one breath, one act of hope. Because, dear friends, Advent is not just some kind of wishful thinking season. Instead, Advent is centered and certain on the gift of Christ, certain that God's mercy is stronger than any cruelty, certain that God's presence is deeper than any of our fears, certain that God's reign is already breaking in among us. Amen.